When Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, it was during the reign of King Herod. And during that time, there came magi from eastern lands. And they came into Jerusalem. And they were asking everyone that they could where this newborn king of the Jews was. They said, "We saw his star rising in the east, and we have come to worship him." Well, of course, King Herod heard about this, and he became very disturbed. And there were other people who were disturbed about this as well. And so King Herod called together all of his religious minds, and he asked them, "Where is this Messiah supposed to be born?" And they answered, "In Bethlehem in Judea." And then they quoted the prophet Micah by saying, "Oh, you, Bethlehem, you are not least among the ruling cities, for from you will be born a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." And so then Herod called these magi to him in secret, and he began to ask them all kinds of questions about when they first saw this star arise in the east. And then he urged them, he sent them away and said, "Go to Bethlehem, and when you have found this king, come back. Let me know so that I too can go and worship him as well." So the magi went into Bethlehem, and sure enough, the star that they saw in the east reappeared for them and came to rest right where the house where Jesus was. And their hearts were filled with joy. They went in, they saw the baby with his mother, and they presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And they worshiped the child there. When they left, they were warned in a dream by God not to return to Herod, and so they went back to their countries another way.
Thank you, Darren. Will you join your heart with mine for a word of prayer? Gather us in awe, O God, that we may discover again your love searching us out, even as we search for you. So clear our hearts and our minds. O God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, that they might be found pleasing and acceptable in your sight. O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I want to begin this morning by saying what a delight and a privilege it is to be with you, dear friends. Some of you I've had the privilege of traveling with along the way to General Synod, and I also had the delight of being here when the association meeting was here. Darren, thanks for this invitation, and to all of you to share in this celebration early a little bit. So I've asked Darren if it would be okay if we skipped ahead one day to Epiphany, which is actually tomorrow, January 6th, that day on which we traditionally celebrate the arrival of the Magi, the wise men, at the site of the Christ child, as we just heard in the scripture sharing. But more about that in just a moment. First, Darren asked earlier if I had something I wanted to say, and I do, in addition to the text. I'm kind of like your long-lost relative. Okay? Have you ever been to one of those family reunions and you discover, I didn't realize that you were part of the family too? Well, I'm that person today for you. And by way of saying, I want to bring you greetings. I am officially, my title is Transitional Conference Minister for the Heartland Conference. I'll say that about that more in just a moment. But suffice it to say that together in the conference, we are midwifing ever new ways to be ever more collaborative and mutually strengthening. And one of the signs of that has to do, as Darren mentioned earlier, with the fact that we have a new name in the conference, which we, for many years, were known as the Ohio Conference. But now we have a name that helps frame us more theologically and spiritually. That new name, as you know, is the Heartland Conference, and it's based on a verse from the prophet Ezekiel that goes in this way, "I will give them one heart and put a new spirit within them." So I want to just take a moment to bring you greetings from some of your relatives, like the Reverend Dr. John Dorhauer, our general minister and president, and our associate general minister, the Reverend Tracy Blackman in Justice and Local Church Ministries, and the Reverend Karen Georgia Thompson in Global Ministries. I also bring you greetings on behalf of the 338 other congregations that make up the Heartland Conference, which you may know includes two congregations in West Virginia and seven in Northern Kentucky, right across the river from Cincinnati. I also bring you greetings on behalf of our global ministry, which you may know includes nearly 300 global partners in more than 90 countries around the world who share in our commission from Jesus Christ to meet all God's people at the place of deepest human need. As I mentioned earlier, I also bring you greetings from my pastor, the Reverend Beth Gettert, and the congregation of which I'm a part, Zion UCC Church in Delaware. When I joined Zion Church about 15 months ago, as I entered into this role, I said to Beth, my pastor, "I'm either going to be your best worst member or your worst best member. I'm not sure which it is, because you're not going to see a lot of me." And she said, "Dave, I know. But I want you to know that wherever you go, we go with you." So I bring with you the energy and the greetings and the love of Zion Church in Delaware. You know, if you haven't quite caught on, you and I are in a web of mutual blessing, support, and encouragement that daily changes the lives of people right here in Galleon and around the world. Your gifts to our church's wider mission make these life-giving connections possible. They provide daily on the ground food and water relief to folks in our own country who have been hit by fire and flood and tornado, and around the world where war daily constitutes a struggle between life and death. My own son, Andrew, for a period of time, was involved in this kind of work as a global mission intern in Beirut, Lebanon, where our shared ministry there gets food and water relief to internally displaced refugees in Syria, daily making the difference between life and death. So when you give to our church's wider mission, I want you to know you are daily making a difference in the lives of people who, without which, would be at risk of starvation. Nearly a third of the population of Syria is internally displaced refugees. I know from talking with Darren that you're a 5 for 5 congregation. And if you don't know what that means that in addition to our church's wider mission, you've given to one great hour of sharing and our important work in disaster relief. You may know that after the television cameras are gone and things have faded from the headlines, the work of rebuilding communities continues. And we've been very actively involved in that work over in the Dayton area following the tornadoes that not once but several times hit that area in 2019. They think it'll take up to 5 years to fully recover from the damage of those tornadoes. Whether you know it or not, you've been helpful in getting new churches started throughout the United Church of Christ and helping struggling churches find renewal through our Strengthen the Church offering. You've been supportive of our Native American congregations. I learned, and I'm going to take this idea to other congregations, that you have a special thing that you do around here with the Neighbors in Need offering and All Saints Sunday, inviting you to give in honor or memory of one of the saints of your life together as we share together in this important work of supporting our Native American congregations and our work for advocating for a world in which all may flourish. I also learned from talking with Darren that you have a very unique way of receiving the Christmas fund offering, which you do in July of all times, I understand. Now, if you don't know what that Christmas fund is, that fund supports retired pastors and their spouses who serve smaller churches throughout their ministry and who struggle now in retirement to make ends meet. My own grandparents, my grandfather served small congregations his entire ministry, And they were helped by that very important offering. So if you hear nothing else from me this morning, I want you to hear this. Thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for this ministry that you have support and do support. But it's about more than just money, though. You've given of your time, so many of you, committed and involved locally here in Galleon and through the association and the conference and the national setting of the church and in other ways, I'm sure. I would be remiss if I didn't celebrate your sharing of love through your food pantry and the weekend lunch program for school-aged children and the way in which you have this building used as a tool for ministry. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your work and your commitment to the love of Jesus Christ lived in real ways. As I said earlier, I'm the transitional conference minister for the Heartland Conference. But you know, we are all really transitional conference ministers. Because to live the Christian life is to be in a season of transformation from one thing that we know to a deeper reality to which God invites us so that our joy and the joy of the world may be more full and so that the peace of Christ may reign more and more in the whole creation. This new year, it seems to me, gives us a great opportunity to consider again the question of God's leading and God's desire for our lives individually and as a human family. You may know that in addition to the calendar year, in the church we have a liturgical year. Today is actually the 12th day of Christmas. It's a season, not just a day, you'll remember. Tomorrow, January 6th, is Epiphany. In the Armenian church and in the Eastern Orthodox church, tomorrow will be the day on which families actually exchange their gifts. In Spain and in Latin America and other parts of the world, Epiphany is also called Three Kings Day because, as I mentioned earlier, it marks the arrival of the wise men at the Christ child. In Germany, there is a tradition from the 16th century that just recently, in the past 50 years, has been resurrected called Sternsinger. Folks go from house to house singing and asking for charitable donations for those who are in need. And then above the houses, the front door of the house, in chalk, are written three letters. C, with what looks like a plus sign, it's actually a cross. M, another cross. And B, Christus Mansionem Benedicat. Christ bless this house. I've seen it because we have, you may know, a partnership with the Protestant church in the state of Westphalia in Germany. And in my travels to Germany, I've seen this CMB across the top of people's homes. I wondered what that was about. So I asked Darren if it would be okay if I could nudge us in the Epiphany direction a day early because it can be easy to let this sacred pause get run over by the usual stuff of our lives. As is often the case with the liturgical year, Epiphany is not just a day, but actually a season, which invites us to consider and focus on the presentation of the light of Christ to the whole world. So we have this story from Matthew, which Darren shared just a moment ago. Likely, I'm guessing you've heard this story of the three kings once or twice, maybe? Yes? Okay. Often our Christmas creches or nativity scenes have three kings right in there with the shepherds and the sheep around the manger. And I loved what you did this morning, Darren, bringing the kings to this scene today. Today. You know, there are some things that are hidden in plain sight right here. The world seems uncertain. Matthew tells us that the Magi from the east came to Jerusalem. The Magi were stargazers who believed that the constellations of the heavens had messages regarding the constellations or the arrangements of life on earth. The Greek word is magoi. The idea that these wise men were kings actually entered in Christian tradition a bit later. Near as scholars can tell, these magi would likely have been from what is now Western Iran. And they would quite likely have been of the Zoroastrian faith, which exists to this day. Now, did you notice something here? Matthew does something very early in his gospel. He introduces not just an idea, but a narrative of the gift of the Christ for the whole world. Right from the very beginning, the idea that God's love knows no boundary of religion or nation is front and center in this formative text of our faith. Not only that, these foreigners have something very important to teach us. They are on a cosmic search, and it begins with the stars, or maybe we should say one star in particular. And you probably have guessed, there's been a lot written about this star. Was it a comet? Was it a supernova? Was it stars aligning? No, nobody really knows. What we do know is that these magi, these wise ones, these foreigners, have discovered a shift of some kind that compels them to search out the larger thing that God is doing in the life of the world. They have been struck with a gift of holy noticing that will not let their hearts go. I wonder if this has ever happened to you. Happened to me the other day, actually. Our pastor, Beth, just gave birth about a week ago, and she invited my wife and me to come over and meet Sammy, who is the most precious baby in the world that I've held recently. And as I held Sammy, she invited me to, I realized I'm holding a star. You know what I mean? You know that feeling when you look at a baby who's sleeping and you cannot take your eyes off the baby? That's stargazing. Before I came into this role in the Heartland Conference, I was for over 30 years a local church pastor. For nearly 22 of those years, I was at David's United Church of Christ in Kanawha, Winchester, suburb of Columbus. And the name, let me just be frank, is completely coincidental. Every May, we would honor our graduating high school seniors with a ritual of entering adulthood. Now, here's how we would do it. I would have all the seniors gather at the back of the sanctuary, and I would talk with them a little bit, and then we would come down the center aisle, and the congregation would applaud. And we'd get to the front of the sanctuary and have them stand and look back at all these people who had loved them. It's the same aisle in later years that I had actually carried them down when I baptized them. I would joke that now they could carry me down. So anyway, as part of that ritual, I would give them a letter, Dave's top 10 rules for launching. Because, you know, when you're in a threshold moment, when you're entering a new season, a new year, a new decade, sometimes it's good to have a few pointers along the way, don't you think? And one of those, number 9, I think it was this, and I offer it to you this morning. Be a stargazer. Dare to wonder. Be engaged by mystery. Make it a practice to look up at night and contemplate what a miracle it is that you are alive. My experience of life is that there are times when things come together. They make sense in a deep and profound way. And then there are days, and you know this, I'm sure, when not much makes sense at all. Those days are actually a gift, but they don't usually start out feeling that way. They are a gift because they force me to give up some of the control which my own ideas try to place on God. I become aware of mystery. Slowly, the gift of God's deep, silent presence begins to grow again, and I am moved to offer God my thanks and praise. In life's launches, be a stargazer. Dare I say, when you're entering a new decade, as we all are, allow the mystery to hold you. Pay attention to the holy noticing that will not let you go, but leads you to a search for the larger way in which love is seeking to come alive in the world, both near and far. Give yourselves to wonder, and then engage the search. Now, you might be saying to yourself, yeah, Dave, I've never really got much out of that stargazing kind of thing. Maybe that's not your thing. But I wonder if maybe, just maybe, something along the way, as I mentioned earlier with that baby, has had a shimmering presence that has stopped you in your tracks. In their book, When Faith Becomes Sight, Beth and David Borman describe this process of allowing our lives to be interrupted by what they call shimmering attractions. When you consider an object, when you encounter an object or a scene or a sound of nature, it interrupts your normal consciousness and what you're doing or thinking about. That's a shimmering attraction. It grabs your attention, whether it's as small as a firefly or as subtle as an unfamiliar bird song or as encircling as a double rainbow. Generally, there is an aspect of beauty. However, it may be a humble beauty in garb quite unremarkable. These shimmering attractions often deliver the personal message, God sees me. I wonder if that isn't part of what went on for the Magi. They discovered that not only were they on the search for the holy, I want you to listen to this, but the Holy One was on the search for them and is on the search for you and me. Do you know this? God's love is constantly searching you out and inviting you to linger, to contemplate, to wonder, to bow, and to follow the thread. You see, the Magi, the wise ones from the East, are interested in paying homage to the Christ. The Greek word is proskuneo. It sometimes is translated as worship, but it actually means to bow down on the floor, prostrate. They bring, of course, their gifts, gold, recognizing kingship, frankincense, affirming divinity, myrrh, a burial spice. But they actually bring in their whole lives. They bow first, and then they give their gifts. I wonder, what is the gift that God may be calling any one of us to give in response to the discovery of God's shimmering, searching presence, where our diligent search for God is being met by God's diligent search for us? Because you see, my friends, God is diligently searching you and me out. But you know, it can be difficult to remember this truth, this possibility. So I brought you a gift today, and I want you to pull it out right now. It's this card. Will you take it out? And if you didn't get one, there are more, and I'll leave some with you. On the front is an artist's rendering of Jesus, and this was done by an artist friend of my wife's and mine in seminary. And on the back side is a prayer that I've been sharing that arose as a process at a spirituality group that was led by one of our lay folks at David's when I was pastor there. And we were invited to allow the Lord's Prayer to inspire our own prayer writing. So this is not a replacement for the Lord's Prayer, of course, but it is, I hope, and maybe can be, an opening for your own engagement with wonder as you enter into this year. I want you to know that if you use this prayer, there are others throughout our conference who are also using this prayer. And I believe that by God's grace and God's Spirit, we are joined when we pray. So if you will you join with me in praying this out loud? Let's give it a try. Let us pray. O love, awaken me to the holiness which is you in me and in all creation. Let your love reign supreme in my heart and mind. Let it be enacted in my life. Help me remember that there is no division between people and time and heaven and earth, for all is one in and through you. Let food of body and food of spirit abound. May all be released in forgiveness, so that the only debt is love. When I'm tempted to forget or try to run away from you, lead me on the grateful path back into your very heart of love. for there is no other place to be. All kingdoms, all power, all glory are yours. Amen.